Welcome to Sports Look. Another fantastic Thursday evening. Happy to have you with us, and need to thank our fantastic Sports Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. Upcoming K-Radio sports schedule, well, it's looking like this. As Saturday, we've got the Benedictine Ravens. By the way, Friday night, the Wetmore six-man game is going to be on K-Radio because you and I aren't going to Cunningham. But Saturday afternoon, the Benedictine Ravens are going to be on the road. The number six Ravens for the final regular season game of the year. Looking to win the conference outright. And we're going to be in Olathe with Mid-America. So join us 12:30 pregame and a 1 o'clock kickoff. The Ravens and the Pioneers. That said, let's talk a little high school football playoffs. What do you say? And we talked about here on K-Radio. They decided to put Cunningham and Wetmore on. You know, on the way to Centralia last week, drove right through Wetmore. The downtown, I mean, through the metro. You know, I got through the suburbs, and then you go through the metro, and there's a loop, you know, that goes around the outside of the city. And I could see the lights on the north edge of town for the football game. As Wetmore defeated Burton 63-7, and that one is a Wetmore is going to be at Cunningham. Now, my question for you is, when was the last time you've been in Cunningham, Kansas? It's going to take a minute to think about that, I know.
Probably the last time I was in Wetmore.
Neither,
ever. Couldn't throw a dart at either one of them and tell you how to get there.
Well, I'm not saying that, you know, I'm bragging about having been there, but I've been to Cunningham. It is in it is in beautiful Kingman County, right west of Kingman, Kansas, in, you know, in what is officially and fairly and legitimately western Kansas.
Yeah, Washburn Rule is in the west half of the bracket. So, again, is it past Topeka?
Then, yeah. It is beyond Topeka.
Okay.
And with that in mind, I think that I shared with you earlier today the fact that not only is this a long ride, it is the farthest trip that any team is going to make in the postseason playoffs, at least up to this point. And I can't imagine that anybody is going to make a trip anywhere near this far. Wetmore, 247-mile bus ride to Cunningham, Kansas. And in fact, Wetmore could have played a game in Iowa, Missouri, Nebraska, Oklahoma, or South Dakota and have traveled less distance.
How far is it?
247 miles.
Okay. You want me to put that into something that
anybody
understands?
It's like from Atchison. What else is 247 miles?
Cedar Rapids is 246. Just throwing that out there, okay? So, yeah, we've done things like this before, right?
So that's officially a road trip, right?
Yeah,
you know. And then, of course, you're going to go out and play the number one team in the state, Kingman.
Okay, number one.
Cunningham out in
Kingman. Yeah, of how many? Do you know how many six-man teams there are?
I just counted. They're like 8 or 10, right?
There's 20.
Really?
Like 23, I think I just counted.
Wow,
so,
okay.
Yeah, so anyway. Throwing that out there.
So that's what's going up on a six-man bracket. And with that, I think we're done with that. We'll jump back up to the top and go to the 6A. What do you say is we're down now to the Final Four in the East and the West. 8 teams total in all these brackets.
Yeah. Now let's, while we're at that.
Yeah.
Okay. So talk about like Wetmore.
Sure.
Or any of those teams in the six-man bracket. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Now we're jumping back up to the biggest bracket, which is 6A. Okay.
Correct.
I'm going to guess Gardner Edgerton has more kids in one classroom than a lot of those six-man teams do.
I will absolutely
in the whole school.
Right. There's no question. There's
you
no
know,
question
I mean, that's
that.
That's what's kind of crazy about that. Blue Valley West is going to make the trip over to Gardner Edgerton. Olathe West and Olathe Northwest are going to play.
Okay, stop. Olathe Northwest is going to be, quote, at Olathe West. Okay? What is the trip for these two teams?
What? Mile?
Half.
Okay.
0.5 miles.
Yeah. So what? You're telling me that on homecoming, the Moorhill Mount Academy a cross country team who goes from the Abbey to the field is going like further.
Oh, yeah, there's going to be a few miles, you know.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah. But it's not being played at the ODAC, probably because they want to keep that field pristine for Saturday.
That would be like Moorhill Mount Academy traveling to Bromley Park to play.
Yeah.
That's probably a half a mile.
My kids always enjoy that. But yeah, they're playing at the CBAC.
Yes.
Not sure what it is, but sounds fun.
Yes. I had somebody from Olathe talking to me 2 days ago, and they said, now where does Benedictine play Saturday? Because we got the ODAC and we got the CBAC.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, we're playing at the ODAC. And he's like, oh, I used to live in Olathe and my kids went to school there and blah, blah, blah. And we would play at these two facilities. So I'm not sure what CBAC is, but he immediately went to that saying, which one of those centers are they playing in?
So
the fans are calling, we're going to put them on hold.
How about Manhattan High? I mean, the Indians are scoring a lot of points right now. They beat Wichita North in week one, 71-7. Manhattan knocks off Wichita East, 48-20. Now they're going to get Wichita Northwest, who doesn't struggle scoring points either.
In the last two games, they've scored 112.
Right. So, and only given up 27, right? The Jays scored 27 on them. Talk about another team who, no stranger to some points, Derby. Is going to be at home with Washburn Rule. Now, Rule scores about 30 points, 36 points a game, and they're going to have to do way more than that against Derby.
Yeah, because Derby's averaging about 72 or 73 a game in the postseason, and, of course, is no stranger to the state championship, as they won, what, like five in a row coming into this year?
Yeah, so, you know, no huge surprises. It doesn't look like in Class 6A.
Hopping over to Class 5A. Well, see, in the east side, you're going to have Mill Valley at home with Pittsburgh, and you will have DeSoto hosting Blue Valley Southwest.
Yeah, so Pittsburgh knocked off back-to-back games against KCA teams, right? They beat Kansas City Washington in week one, beat Sumner last week, and now the Purple Dragons are on to take on Mill Valley, who has yet to give up a point in the playoffs.
So you've got that, and then in the other side, in the west half of the bracket, you got Mays at home with Hutch, and Hayes will be hosting Salina Central. Salina Central, Gus, has maybe one of the premier running backs in the state of Kansas right now, and so he's just been absolutely fantastic all season long. Going to be playing Saturdays for somebody, I would think, without a question.
Should that surprise you, though? Because if you look at Salina Central's mascot and their logo, Salina Central are the Mustangs. Who do they remind you of? Is that not the SMU red and white Mustang?
I don't got that one. You flip that around. Give me a better look than that. Oh, yeah.
Right, so they should have a good running back, okay? I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, that's definitely who that is.
So, anyway, those are the games going on in Class 5A. Jumping over to...
Yeah,
no, you ready?
No, yeah, ready. Let's do it.
So jumping into 4A, there was an upset last week. How about Chanute, who was undefeated going into last week's game with Kansas City Piper? The undefeated season ends. It was Piper, 48-47 in double overtime. So Piper will move on with a short roadie this week. They're going to be at Miege. Miege was able to hold off Eudora, 33-26. Last Thursday night, we were up at Amelia Earhart Stadium, and we saw another perfect season come to an end as Atchison loses to St. James, 42-17, and so St. James will move on to get Aquinas, who blanked Lewisburg 40-0. Wamego over Rose Hill in the west side of the bracket. They will get Andover Central, who beat Winfield. McPherson over Ark City. We'll move on to play Circle as Towanda beat Coffeyville 34-6.
And you think there are not a lot of people grumbling about the Final Four in the East? Right about now.
What? St. James, St. Thomas, and Bishop Miege?
Yeah, with Piper. I mean, it's the same grumble that we hear every year. But let's be very candid. They are extremely, extremely good teams. It'd be shocking if one of those three doesn't win the state, you know, in Class 4A. Kicking it over to Class 3A, Columbus is going to be at home with Topeka Hayden as Columbus got by Galena, Pig of Hayden defeated Wellsville 22-19 in a great game. The other pairing in 3A in the East will be Girard and Holton. And Holton will travel down to Girard for that one.
So is the thing setting up for another Holton-Hayden matchup?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're just screaming towards it. And those two teams have played earlier this year. Probably don't need to rehash it a whole lot. Back on the 14th, Hayden went to Holton and lost 37-13 in a game where I feel like, if I remember right, Hayden just couldn't get any yards against Holton. So.
And in the bottom half, you've got the Andale Indians, and man, they're good. They are only 10-0, and I'm looking at their scores. They have given up hardly any points all year. We got 1, 2, 3, 4 shutouts, including the 108-0 win that people had some things to say about over the course of the season. So,
yeah, and they're going to play host, or no, they're going to be hosted by Mustangs out of Rock Creek. And you ask about Rock Creek, how are they this year? Well, they are 9-1. They lost week one to Southeast of Saline, and then haven't looked back since then, beating St. Mary's, Riley County, Silver Lake, Maryville, Hiawatha, Concordia, Clearwater, Heston, and so, yeah. Should be a good one.
Last two teams, of course, then are going to be Clay Center and Cheney. The Cheney Cardinals, 8-2 out of the Central Plains League, the 11-man portion of the Central Plains League.
And it also makes sense that Rock Creek in the west half of the bracket.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're so way out there.
Yeah, they're almost to Manhattan.
I'm telling you.
Class 2A playoffs. Well, you're going to have Sabetha at home with Caney Valley and Nemaha Central at Humboldt. Two Big Seven teams in the Final Four in the East.
Yeah.
The conference is just that good.
Yeah, and those two are eyeing up for a possible rematch in the semifinals. You look back a couple weeks ago, Nemaha Central was able to knock off Sabetha 24-7. So, Sabetha, though, getting by Riley County last week, it was Nemaha over Rossville 36-13.
And in the bottom half, you'd mentioned Southeast of Saline just a minute ago, okay? They are still in the playoffs as they are going to be playing Hoisington, the Hoisington Cardinals, I believe, right?
Yep. And you talk about Southeast of Saline. They're undefeated, right? They're 10-0.
They're 10-0.
They beat Rock Creek in week one, but then they beat Beloit, Minneapolis, Halstead, Clay Center, Hillsboro, Lyons, Ellsworth, Haven, Chaparral. And then, so, yeah.
And, of course, everybody knows Southeast Saline. They're like, well, I don't even know where that's at. Well, it's in Gypsum, if that helps any at all.
Kingman, who is undefeated right now, will get Beloit at Beloit this weekend.
So there you have Class 3A or 2A. And going to Class 1A, it'll be Troy, who got bumped off by St. Mary's. They're going to have had St. Mary's is going to be traveling to Pittsburgh, Kansas at St. Mary's Colgan. So St. Mary's is going to win.
Yeah.
Boom. I will make a prediction.
I like it.
St. Mary's and St. Mary's Colgan. Opie continues to roll along. These guys don't know anything but winning, and they will have Centralia at Centralia.
So you talk about Opie. Right now they find themselves at 8-2 on the season. They lost their first two games of the year, okay? They started out 0-2, went on an 8-game winning streak. Let's talk about those two losses real quick. Opie lost on September the 2nd when they decided to just go to Topeka and play at Hayden.
Okay.
Right? Like, that seems like a good idea. 1-4, why not? And held competitive, right? They only lost 21-7. Then, on September the 9th, they said, man, let's just go to Kansas City and see what Bishop Ward has. And they lost to Ward 16-13. Ward is a big 3A team who finished the season 7-3. Okay, so they were pretty decent this year. Opie went way out of the box, played a couple big teams, and then said, let's go. And that's worked well for him right now.
Bottom half of 1A, by the way, is going to be Waubunsee at Conway Springs and Smith Center traveling to Inman.
That's how you say that.
That's how I say that.
Smith Center right now, 8-2, and their two losses were at Norton, and they lost at Waubunsee. So,
And the Inman, one of your favorite mascots, the Teutons.
I do enjoy that one, honestly.
Their only loss this season was Conway Springs.
Yeah. Is that crazy that Smith Center and Inman at the bottom half of the bracket, both of those teams have lost to teams at the top half of the bracket, uh-huh. right? They both lost to Wabunsee or Conway Springs, so it should be fun.
Here we go. Hey, check out your sports schedule. Pick out your team. Go support these clubs as they are in, you know, the final eight in the state of Kansas. We'll be back. We got lots more stuff to talk about. Big Sports Look coming your way. Returning soon here on CARE. Welcome back to Sports Look here on CARE as we shift our sights from the high school football playoffs to college football. And Gus, for the Benedictine Ravens Senior Day, final regular season game in Wilcox Stadium this year. And they handled Evangel 30-7 of Benedictine. You know, it wasn't the quickest start again, but they jump out and handle business.
Yeah, so for Benedictine, it was one of those games where, you know, it took a minute to get them going, but once they did, I mean, we were scoreless at the end of a quarter. It was only 7-0 going into half, and then after that, the Ravens scored 16 in the third and really just made it an easier afternoon. Evangel didn't score until the very start of the fourth quarter when they got a 3-yard touchdown run. But for Benedictine, 334 yards of offense, 83 plays. I think when you talk to Coach Osborne on Saturday, he's going to be happy with some things, but you walk away from that game with a lot of things that you can improve upon, but that was also an Evangel team who, coming into that game, had not lost in the South Division, right? So for Benedictine to be able to come away with the win there, stay steady in the national polls, and for Benedictine, I think that it was a nice win.
It was also a player of the week kind of an outing. Cullen Bruner was the conference special teams player of the week last week.
I'm going to tell you, that's not always a good thing.
Well, Cullen only, and this is kind of the thing, he only punted twice, okay? So, I mean, there was not a lot of, wait a minute, let me back up.
Oh, yeah.
That was kickoff. He punted nine
there
times.
There you go. I was
like, nine punts for Cullen, 340 yards, averaging 37.8 on a punt last week.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those where Coach Osborne says, congratulations. Now, if you don't want to play this Saturday, that'd be okay, right? Like, we always talk about the punter. Like the punter.
Okay.
Nice people. Don't need to see him play.
Here's the thing about that. Let's look at the other column across from there. Nine punts, okay, 340 yards. Total return yardage on those nine punts was 57. So we're talking, you know, some pretty short returns, 5 yards, 6 yards, you know, on a return.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good.
Yeah,
work.
Yeah, and he was able to pin him inside the 20, get some fair catches out of it.
Two times inside the five.
Yeah, and you know, but the other thing that Cullen has kind of a advantage on, he has some fast players, right? So he doesn't really have to hang it that hard, but he still does. But that kick covered unit is down the field in a hurry. And so for Benedictine, again, congratulations to Cullen Bruner this week.
Yep. Rushing the ball. You know how we like to look at the rushing again. Benedictine's leading rusher was Garrett Kittle. 66 yards rushing. The next most belonged to Rayshon, 36 on 17. And again, Benedictine, like we talk about so many teams. I don't care whether it's Josh Allen or who. Your quarterback may be your leading rusher any game out. And for me, I'm just too old. It makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I worry about them.
15 led the Chiefs in rushing on Sunday night.
Just kind of how it is today. That all said, the upcoming schedule across the Heart of America Athletic Conference for the final regular season game.
You want to jump back and look at the scores from last week?
Oh, yeah, let's do that, sure. We'll drop back to Saturday the 5th.
Yeah, so on Saturday, Mid-America was able to hold off Missouri Valley. That game got Mid-America jumped out, Valley fought back, and Mid-America comes away with a 49-42 win in that. Grandview, no problems over Culver Stockton, 46-21. My question for you is, we saw Grandview early on in the season, right? Week 3, week 4, somewhere around there.
Okay.
They were okay, but I mean, I think that, I don't know, I don't think they were, like, blow everybody out, but that's what they've continued to do. So am I off on what Grandview is, or is the North just that bad, or what is it? Because Culver Stockton's one of those teams who you should have thought could keep it a little closer than a 25-point game.
I'm going to tell you, I think the North is just that bad. I mean, I just think there is one good team. I mean, not just an average or decent team. I mean, one really good team.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of them are, you know, very, very mediocre, I think.
Yeah, and Grandview's good, don't get me wrong, but they're not as good as they were last year, I don't think, right? And that's easy to say because they lost so many big pieces, but they returned their quarterback. But yet, yeah, Grandview coming away with the win there. William Penn knocks off Clark in a very Penn-like game, 14-3. Go back to week one when Penn came in here. They had a new offensive coordinator. They were going to spread the field. They were going to score some points. And, well, they scored 14 points, and it was enough to beat Clark. Baker finally gets a win. They beat Central Methodist 28-0. And Peru State holds off Graceland 34-19. And then we talked about it a moment ago, Benedictine over Evangel 30-7.
Yeah, so Mid-America beats Missouri Valley 37-30. And you got to ask, and I'll ask Coach Osborne before the game, what is it that Mid-America does really well? Well, they rolled up a lot of offense, but again, it's against a pretty, you know, a defense that I don't know just how good they are. Missouri Valley, I mean, 533 yards of total offense on the course of the day. 81 offensive plays. And when each team only punted three times, that tells me there was no defense. That tells me the offenses were just running crazy all afternoon.
Yeah, you know, and you talk about that Mid-America offense. So they're like the fourth in the conference when it comes to scoring. They've got over 4,100 yards of offense this season, which puts them about 410 yards a game, which is third most, you know, offensive yards a game. So they're right up there, but yes, you're right. Their defense has no problem handing points back, so you've got to win in shootouts.
Yep, for Mid-America, our quarterback is Blake Atkins, okay? He was 32 of 45, 371, 6 TDs, 1 interception. That's a good line.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a really good line. He also rushed 6 times for 6 yards. So, I mean, he is not the primary runner. Sean Cherry is. Cherry with 83 rushing yards on 19 carries, averaging, you know, 4 or so a run, 4 or 5 runs.
Yeah, Mid-America gives up about 27 points a game. And if you wonder what Benedictine gives up, 18.
Uh-huh.
Right, so again, that's really high. Grandview, how about that? Grandview only gives up 8.7 a game, which should put you right at the top in the country.
8.7 points per game?
Yeah. Is that,
okay.
Yeah.
And Benedictine scored how many? 40?
Yeah. So
there you go. So
42, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. So there you have that. Now, that all said, you know, you've got a big schedule coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
Across the conference, final games for... Let's be honest. Final games for all but two of these teams.
Yep. And one of them is going to get over early because Grandview's playing the noon game.
There is a noon game up in Des Moines. It'll be Clark at Grandview. You're going to find the 1 o'clock games in. All the rest of them is Missouri Valley will be at Baker. You will have Evangel going to Fayette with Central Methodist. It is Peru State hosting Culver Stockton. And then Penn at Graceland, and of course, Benedictine at Mid-America, the 1 o'clock game that you'll hear from the ODAC here on Care Radio. 1 o'clock kickoff, 12:30 pregame, Saturday for the Ravens. And
yeah, and so you're starting to look forward. You think, oh, man, the Ravens are going to make the playoffs, and they are. Okay,
yeah.
Win or lose, oh, they're
yeah.
in.
For sure.
Win, you're most likely getting a home game. Lose, goodness only knows where you could end up. Looking at the top 25, you jump down to game number 8. 8 plays 16 this week. That could be an interesting game. You look at 11 versus 21. We'll decide who wins the... What is that? The... Hold on. 11 will play... Yeah, so the Frontier League is still up for grabs. The one that's going to throw a lot of teams and people are going to be really upset with... Ottawa, Arizona is number 20 in the country. They go to Panhandle State this week and all they have to do is win. If they win, they're in. And so the number 20 team will get in because they are a conference champion. The other team that's going to bother a lot of people is number 18. Dickinson State is going to win the North Star. I mean, it's pretty much all there is to it. If they lose to Presentation, which Presentation is awful, then they would be out and somebody else gets in. I'm going to tell you the team that's going to be holding the bag is somebody.
Avila.
Yeah. No, it won't be Avila. Avila will be a conference champion. It will be... You know, like a KW, it will be a Southwestern. I would honestly say Bethel is going to be the team on the outside looking in. How about that? You're number 13 in the country, and you're going to be on the outside looking in. You know, what else is going to hurt them? They're off this week. They're done, right? So now they're just sitting around trying to figure out, are we in or are we out? And I think by not playing, you kind of hurt yourself because you're like, oh, well, I kind of forgot about them. So there are a lot of games going on that are interesting. Southwestern will play number 25, Kansas Wesleyan this week. Number 11, College of Idaho plays 21, Carroll. Number 12, St. Xavier, Illinois will play number 19, University of St. Francis, Illinois.
Yes.
Not Indiana, Illinois.
Not the Cougars.
So, yeah, there'll be a lot of good games going on. But, yeah, it looks like Kaiser is in. Reinhardt, Georgia is going to be in. Marion is in. So, you know, you look at it, the top five teams are in. Six teams are in. Seven teams are in. Okay, so the top seven are in. And past that, you're kind of hoping that your number gets called because I think this is going to be a tighter field than normal years.
Yeah, it's going to be that. And, again, people can't help themselves. I can't help myself. I'm looking up at the end of this bunch and trying to figure who might next weekend be coming to Atchison in the first round of the NAIA football championship series.
You gonna go out?
Huh?
You gonna go out on the limb?
Yeah,
or yes?
Yeah. I'm sitting here. I'm looking at it, and so I'm thinking six. So you're going to be around the 10, 11, 12, 13. Is it Bethel? Is it Southwestern? I mean, I expect a KCAC opponent.
Yeah, if KCAC gets that many teams in, yeah, I think so.
But if the KCAC is going to get
Southwestern, all right, here we go.
They're going to get Bethel and may get Avalon. I mean, they could have three in.
They're getting Avalon, but Avalon will come to Atchison next week. That's going to be my guess.
Okay.
Okay.
Fair enough.
We'll see.
An old friend coming back to town, Avalon.
Good thing is there aren't many of those people left because, man, Avalon would have some PTSD if they watched some old game tape of Benedict and
Coach will
Avalon.
Not bring those out.
So we'll see.
We're taking a break. We'll be back. College basketball, our focus right after this. Sports Look continues here on Care Radio. Great to have you along with us. And we, just as we mentioned, we're going to shift our focus to college basketball. And a couple of nights ago, we had the Benedictine Ravens here on Care Radio. As BC, boy, they had a handful. We were just talking about Avalon. Well, it was Benedictine Avalon basketball and the Ravens. It was a crazy game. They got ahead, okay? Took a nice lead into the locker room. Could not score coming out in the second half. I mean, they went. I think they had no points for the first 6-7 minutes and then 2 points in the first 8 or 9 minutes of the second half. And then were able to rally and come away with a 66-57 win. But they hit that little cold streak, and that's hard to do against an Avalon team that's they got a lot of talent, a lot of good athletes on that club.
Yeah, against an Avalon team that, you know, here's the deal for Coach Moody, and it's been this way ever since he got here. You can kind of weather some of those offensive lulls a little bit because your defense is so good, right? You're going to force teams to not score points, and that's exactly what they did. Benedictine was able to hold Avalon to only 57 points. You know, so for Benedictine to be able to do that to Avalon, they can weather a little bit of a storm like that. The Raven men move up to 2-1. They lost to Southwestern on Saturday. You know, I think the thing that maybe we kind of lose was a couple weeks ago, Benedictine went up to St. Joe and played a really close game with Missouri Western. So this is a team who is also trying to figure out kind of pieces and parts and where everybody fits early on in the season.
And again, they play 11 guys. Again, you're talking about coaches kind of getting the rotation down. The starting five looks pretty set to me. And Jaden Timme, guys, he is poising himself for a huge senior year. He started off red hot, I think, hitting his first 4 3-point shots in a row, ended up 6 of 9 from three, and 19 points. But that wasn't even the leading score. Braden Belt, when the Ravens needed scoring in the middle and then late in the second half, it was Braden Belt who stepped up, went 5 of 12 from outside, ended up with 21 points to lead Benedictine. And Ahmad Lewis, by the way, was 5 of 10. 50% from the outside, he had 18. Okay. So those three guys, a lot of points.
Yeah, so that's the offense, right, for this team. I mean, because if you look at, like, Ahmad Lewis and Braden Belt, between the two guys, they threw up 27 shots. You want to throw Jaden Timme in there. I mean, you were, what, up to 36 shots between three guys, and on the night, you attempted, 52.
Yeah.
So three guys accounted for 36 of your 52 shot attempts. So, I mean, that's kind of where your offense lies, right? If those two guys go, so goes your offense.
Right now, yeah. But what you're going to have, you've got Sam Ungashick, the freshman, who's running at the one, and he is a very traditional one in that he's a distributor of the ball. I mean, he's a floor quarterback. He's setting things up, not shooting. He only took one shot in the course of the game. The guy who probably Benedictine is going to look to score more. They will be looking to score more. Tyson Cathy, big, strong, gets 20 minutes in the game, but took one shot, didn't score. I mean, he is a guy that you will need your five to put something on the board.
Yeah, especially in this conference, right? I mean, like, this just how it's going to have to be. So, for the Ravens, again, they're going to look for some pieces off the bench and try to supplement that in. But I feel like, Ahmad Lewis, Braden Belt and Jaden Timmy are going to be your offense. And you talk about Ungashek as he's kind of that traditional one, more of a ball handler and a facilitator of the offense.
Yep.
But if you remember back, like the first couple games of Jaden Bristol, he was kind of that way too, right? Anytime you get, you know, incorporated into a new team, you're just kind of feeling out where they need you to be. And I'm sure that at some point Coach Moody will have that discussion about let it fly a little bit, you know, and then the Ravens will have that other offensive attack.
Benedictine's schedule is a little rough. I mean, in that they had a couple of nice home games, you know, three in a row, and now they're going to take a road trip that's not going to find them playing back in the Nolan until the 30th of November. So they are going to be gone for almost 3 weeks before they come back, because they're going to be traveling to the Bulldog Classic down at McPherson, where they will be playing. McPherson and Briar Cliff. Or they're playing McPherson there, and then they're going to go to Sioux City and play Briar Cliff.
Yeah, so they're going to play Bethel first.
Bethel, right.
And, yeah, Friday night they'll play Bethel. I say Friday night. 4 o'clock game with Bethel. Saturday you're going to get McPherson. And then, yeah, next week Benedictine is going to make a double road trip up to Sioux City.
Uh-huh. And then right back practically the same place going to Cedar Rapids.
Yeah. So, you can't believe that. We're going to have conference basketball here coming up shortly.
First conference game, the 26th at Mount Mercy. And it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Do you feel like football kind of pushes basketball to the back burner, right? Because last year at this time, we knew that you weren't going to make the playoffs. So you kind of go, okay, well, we got basketball next weekend. And now you're like, I don't know what weekend we'll see basketball, but don't take this wrong, guys. But I hope we don't see you on Saturdays until January.
Yeah, maybe that.
You know?
But that said, the Benedictine crowds have been phenomenal here early. I mean, hats off to the students who've been turning out in incredible numbers, the fans, you know, from the community and the families who have made the trips. It is so good to see them following this team and turning out. The atmosphere is a huge part of college basketball.
So now let's flip the script a little bit. Let's talk about the Lady Ravens.
Yes.
Right now they find themselves 1-1 on the season. And this week they're going to be taking on Sterling on Friday night, then they're going to get Avila, both of those games being played here in the Nolan at the BC Classic.
Yes, they put this Classic on every season and invite these teams up. And so that'll be a really good test for them, because Benedictine, only a couple of games into the year, playing a really good Stevens on the road, and then having Manhattan Christian, who, let's be very candid, no test really for them. And so they need a game, a competitive game, and this will provide them with a couple of them this weekend. So you can certainly go up to the Nolan Gymnasium and watch the ladies Friday night, tomorrow night at 7, and then Saturday afternoon at 3 if you're not in Olathe. That all said, we're taking a quick break. We got more Sports Hook. That's right. Don't go away. Back with you. Happy to have you here on KAIR-FM Horton Atchison as we go to segment 4 in the rapid fire and guts of the Kansas City Chiefs. Gosh sakes, you'd think you'd try to make it look a little bit easier, but there's something about the Titans. They've got the Chiefs number. Every team seems to have that kryptonite, okay? For Kansas City, it is absolutely the Titans.
Yeah, you know, for Kansas City, it's been the Titans for Andy Reid, it's been the Titans. I mean, he has struggled to win games against the Titans. He is 2-9 all time against Tennessee. So it's something. But he's also great coming out of the bye. And when all that was said and done, the Chiefs just like, I don't know. It felt like they just turned it on and then they were going to go down and win.
Did it when they had to.
Yeah.
Took it to overtime, but Chiefs winning in that ball game 20-17. And they're going to be back home again this Sunday. It's going to be a noon game. And they're going to have Trevor Lawrence, right?
Yeah. The Jags are coming to town. And the Jags started out hot, then they've kind of cooled off. Now they're starting to maybe figure it out a little more again. As Doug Peterson, the former Chiefs offensive coordinator, is now the head coach of Jacksonville, coming back to Kansas City. But for Jacksonville right now, it's all about their running back. And I know you love that because for them, they figured out that Trevor Lawrence has been turning the ball over quite a bit. He's a young quarterback. So what do you do? How do you mask that? Start running the football. And that's what they're doing with Travis Etienne. They're doing swing passes to him out of the backfield. Just trying to get some of that higher percentage stuff, take the ball away from the quarterback a little more. And then when you need it, you hit a couple guys deep. But for Kansas City, this should be another walk-away game, and I don't know if it exactly will be that.
No, you never know. In the NFL, everybody's able to beat everybody on every game. I mean, we talk about that old saw all the time, but it will not be easy, although the Chiefs are 9.5-point favorites with a 50.5 total over-under. That seems to me like quite a lot for a team that got in a 37-point game last week.
Yeah, I mean, and basically they're just figuring the Chiefs' offense
40,
just like,
38.
Just like go nuts and start scoring some points. So we'll see.
And, by the way, we'll just mention, if you're circling your Chiefs' schedule, they have already flexed that Charger game.
Yeah, so the NFL has a rule that you have to flex it 10 days in advance, which makes sense because if, let's say I'm traveling to that game, I want to know with plenty of advance versus the week of or a couple days before, oh, by the way, we're going to flex that. So they did decide to flex that game into the night game in Chiefs Chargers next Sunday night. So, again, it'll be another rough Monday morning because that's a way past my bedtime when those get over.
Is it going to be too late for you tonight? We got Thursday night football. So it'll be the Falcons at Chris Tabor.
Yeah, so the only thing I'll be looking for is Tabor, but it sounds like it's going to rain, so he'll be wearing probably a hood or a stocking hat, so he'll be a little tougher to pick out. So, again, I will probably watch like 5 total minutes of this game. It just doesn't do much for me other than the Tabor aspect.
Yep. Sunday morning, it's one of those NFL Sundays that they love to do. They play an overseas game and get you started at 8 in the morning, and then you're watching football until 10 or 11 o'clock that night. And in this one, kind of an interesting game that'll be not played in London, but in fact in Germany, is it'll be the Seahawks and the Buccaneers.
Yeah, and so the Seahawks have been really good this year. The Buccaneers have not, and it's one of those games where it should be interesting. The Seahawks actually, like, after their game last Sunday, they traveled over to Germany, which probably makes sense because you're so far away.
Well, I was just talking, we were kidding about how far Wetmore's got to go. That's nothing compared to the Seahawks, what, 5,000, 6,000
miles. Oh, man. So, yes, they went over, like, Sunday night or Monday, and so they had the whole week there to try to acclimate themselves to it. I don't know. I mean, I always enjoy these morning games because there's nothing better than flipping the TV on at 8 in the morning and then letting the Shield do its thing all day, right? I think my family goes a little nuts, but I love every second of it. I think the Seahawks come away with a win in this one, even though Tampa's favored by 2.5.
Yeah, I mean, but the good news is you get over there, you're a week early, you can find yourself some, like, fantastic strudel, and, you know.
Ooh, see?
It's delightful. Vikings are going to beat the Bills Sunday at noon, and how'd the Vikings get to be 7-1 all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they're playing a bad schedule, but again, you can't hold that against them because the schedule is the schedule. Now, it does get a little harder coming up over the next month for them, but again, if you're going to be successful in the NFL, win games, right? And that's all they're doing right now.
But the Bills are on the ropes a little.
Yeah, the Bills lost last week to the Jets. Their quarterback gets injured on the last, but the second-to-last offensive play of the game, and he's dealing with what they're calling a UCL sprain, and you're like, UCL, isn't that what pitchers deal with? Yeah, that's the Tommy John, right? And so the Bills have kept it under their hat that, you know, he's day-to-day, he may play, he may not play. If I were a Bills fan, I'd be very nervous at this point because if Josh Allen can't throw the ball effectively, they're in trouble. I heard a stat today that of the 35 touchdowns scored by the Bills this season, Josh Allen somehow accounts for 32 of those. There have been three touchdowns. That means probably running backs or kick returns or, you know, defensive touchdowns. Three touchdowns have been scored by this team this season that it didn't originate with Josh Allen.
So, anyway, Buffalo is still a 3.5-point favorite. If Josh Allen gets ruled out, that will change fast.
Yes.
Cowboys are at the Pack. I think that's got, that could be a really interesting game because the Packers have stunk. I think that Aaron Rodgers has got to be sick and tired of hearing everybody, you know, berate him. And I think that at home in Lambeau, I think he steps up his game.
Okay, yes. And I think he loses by double digits and Micah Parsons, like, just maybe knocks him for the season. I mean, the Cowboys are playing good football. The Packers are not. That game doesn't do much for me.
Chargers 49ers on a West Coaster for Sunday night. That's, you talk about not doing something for
me. I'm not telling you. I could care less about either. Go 49ers, yeah. Right? Because you could see the Chargers continue to lose is a good thing.
The Chargers won game behind the Kansas City in the standings, yeah, in the West. So yeah. You got that. Monday Night Football finds Washington at the Eagles. Oh, my. How'd they let that happen?
Telling you. There are some bad games on Sunday and Monday.
It's a big game Saturday, though. Kansas is going to travel to T-Tech. Texas Tech is only a 3.5-point favorite in that one. That's a Saturday night game, by the way, 6 o'clock.
People in the desert must have a problem with Kansas and Kansas State. I don't get it. I don't understand how Kansas is a dog at Texas Tech. I also don't understand how Kansas State is a dog at Baylor.
Baylor plays so good at home, though. K-State, even though they're ranked number 19 in the country, that's also a 6 o'clock ball game. Or 7 o'clock, if you want to get even later. Here's going to be a nice one. Number 4, TCU at number 8, Texas, at 18, Texas, and Texas is a favorite.
Yeah, that's one of those things where I think a lot of people just aren't believing in TCU, but I'm going to tell you, TCU just continues to find a way to win, and I hope they do it against Texas because, you know, I'm not a Texas fan, but I do like the Frogs.
Bama's a little bit on the ropes, number 9 now. They're at number 11, Ole Miss. That's going to be a Saturday afternoon game. I would have thought that would have been a night game.
But see, the problem with the SEC, something about Alabama's schedule, they can only have 2 night games all year, and so they've already done that the last 2 weeks, and so they're out of night games.
Hey, we've got games coming up here on Care Radio. We will be in Olathe Saturday as the Benedictine Ravens wrap up the regular season at Mid-America. 12:30 for the pregame, a 1 o'clock kickoff. Ravens Pioneers here on Care Radio. And then on to postseason. I want to thank our Sportsbook sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. Tim, we'll greet you next time. For Gus Scott's Tom Couch. So long, everybody.